Take your Bible this evening, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. If you have trouble finding that, that's right before 2 John. If you get to 3 John, go back to 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3 John, Jude, the book of the Revelation. You there? 1 John chapter 4. I was going to have you stand, and I was going to read one verse, but I got to reading and just backtracking. I was going to read verse 19 in the chapter. And verse 19 will be our text verse. But as they were singing, I was going verse by verse backwards. You ever done that in the Bible? Just read a verse and just back up a little bit, see context, and you keep backing up. It's like, my goodness, that's good. And, oh, boy, what if I read another one? Oh, and before I knew it, I was all the way back to verse 1.
Yeah.
It's a chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read. I believe it'd do us all good. Do you know that there used to be public reading of the Scripture? That was a common thing that would happen every church service. Just the reading of the Scripture. I believe that was a good act. I believe that was a good trend or a good way to do things. We cannot improve upon the Word of God. Amen. Verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. If there's ever been a day and an hour, we need to take heed to that verse. It's the one we're living in.
Amen.
This chapter will unroll and unveil more of what was just spoken of. But I'm just here to tell you this evening, we are living in the day where the spirit of Antichrist is prevalent. The spirit of Antichrist is among us. You just look around, everything is Antichrist. Now there is the Antichrist is coming or may already be here. He very well may already be here. You may have already seen him. Yes. You do believe that, don't you?
Amen.
I mean, if you study the Scripture, there's nothing left. There's no prophecy left that God has to fulfill in order to snatch the church away. And to immediately, the next step, as we are, he that letteth will let. And then once he's removed, speaking of the Holy Ghost, when the church is out of here, the Holy Spirit goes with us. And he's the Holy Spirit is the only one holding this world together.
Amen.
Along with the church of the living God. Imagine removing every born-again believer from planet Earth at once. I mean, do you see how evil and dark the day is that we're living in already? And I know most Christians are lukewarm, if not cold. That's the day and hour we're living in. People ain't serious about serving God. I didn't come to preach this tonight, but boy, I just got plugged in. And I thank the Lord for it. Listen, we got to know when we're living. The day and hour. This ain't playtime. We are in the last stretch.
Amen.
No time to sit down. Tag out. No, we need every man standing and manning his post. Amen.
Amen.
The signs are everywhere. Just look around. My goodness. I ain't preaching on that tonight, but I'm telling you the spirit of Antichrist is among us. And if you don't believe it, look, it's how dark and depraved. I saw this week. I think Deb sent this around or to me or to somebody. I saw it. But it's one of them cartoons. One of them cartoons that our children watch. Seems innocent. And they had the two little cartoon characters, one a man, one a woman, getting married. They're pushing that mess and garbage down our children's in their ears, in their eyes, everywhere they are. They're trying to make it normal for men to love men and women to love women. Read Romans chapter 1. It tells you what's going to happen. Not only that, they're trying to make us be the abnormal people for standing up for the life of the most innocent among us. The baby in the womb. Millions and millions are being butchered, and we're the bad people. But honestly, it's amazing how many people, the mindset, what do you think contributes to that? The spirit of Antichrist, anything God, anything over me. It's the mentality is my way or thy. Give me what I want. This is my life. I'm going to live the way I want. Hey, that's anti-God. By the way, if you saved it, ain't your life. He bought you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And so didn't mean to get sidetracked there, but this chapter is full of that. And listen, I'm concerned. When Missy texts me today, this afternoon, she texts me and said, please pray for my mama. It's a serious situation, serious operation. And pray that the Lord just take her on if she's not willing to get right with the Lord or something to that nature. Well, I thought, if she's saying that, surely her mama must be saved. And so I paused a minute and I text her back. I said, is your mother born again? She had been saved. And the reason, that's a big question. I'm not about to pray for somebody to just, Lord, take them on if they go into hell. I'm going to pray and do whatever it takes to pray God has spared their life. I told Missy that. I'm not telling you anything I didn't talk with her about. She knows. But I told her, I prayed for my daddy most of my life. Did I get frustrated, aggravated, ready to quit praying for him? Yes, 100 times over. But what constantly came back to me was his soul forever in hell. Yeah.
Amen.
So don't ever give up praying. Amen. Now, when it comes to a saved person, that's a whole different story. A saved person gets out of God's will and wants to live in sin. Your days are numbered, friend. I read that right before church, right before coming to church. I read an entire chapter about the chastening of the Lord to His children. And that's not a place you want to be. Amen? All right, let's get back to the Scripture. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Seems pretty simple, don't it? Did you know that the president of the Southern Baptist Convention just released statements that he spoke and that were printed saying that we are welcoming the LGBT community? Yeah. He ain't reading out of the same book I'm reading out of. I don't have time to go down that road tonight. But I thank God I'm an independent Baptist church. You say, but there's other independent Baptists that are just as bad. You're missing the whole point. The word independent means the money I give is independent of any other. What I support is independent of any other. And we're not guilty by association. We're not sending and funding thousands of preachers to be brainwashed with that mess, to believe we don't have a perfect Bible, to believe that we ought to be opening arms and welcoming the gay and lesbian and transgender lifestyle. I'm going to tell you, as long as I live, God help me to stand and preach against that wickedness and abomination.
Amen.
Trying to ruin our children. Yeah. You'd be amazed at how many young people have sat in front of me on church pews, been in my youth group, ended up in that wicked lifestyle because they're being inundated with it. And when the church and when the man behind the pulpit will not speak up loud and long against that mess, God help us. That's why the Bible said in the last days it'd be heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you're just this little country bumpkin preacher, and that's the big man, head of the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't care how big he is or how many people's under him. He's dead wrong. Dead wrong. Amen. Now listen, I'm not mad at all Southern Baptist people. I was a Southern Baptist when I got saved and called to preach. And most Southern Baptists don't have any idea what they are. Just Baptists down south. That's what most people think. Sadly, most Southern Baptist preachers do know and will be held accountable for what they know. Amen. Now, the Bible says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And now already is it in the world. You do not have to be a super spiritual Christian to see that the spirit of Antichrist is among us. You can really be a carnal Christian and just know your Bible halfway and see that the spirit of Antichrist is among us. Amen. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. See, the world don't want to hear what I'm preaching tonight. They don't want to hear that message. What if I just quit preaching right now? What I have already said, dealing with the murder of innocent babies, and what I've said against and about the wicked sodomites of this world, and lesbians and homosexuals, all that mess is not popular. Would be major pushback. And as a matter of fact, there's already legislation being written against churches to take 301 standing. If a preacher is to preach out and speak against that, they can have it. They can have it. It's just the Word of God. We are the last thing standing in the world to help our children not completely be brainwashed and go the way of the devil and have the spirit consume and become part of that spirit of Antichrist. Oh God, we better be, hey, mamas and daddies, we better be praying. I mean sincerely begging God, don't let the devil get my children. Oh, goodness. Because he's sure getting more than I ever thought he'd get. You ought to look at the statistics of Baptist church members who were raised in church who get out never to step foot back in. It ain't in this day and hour. Maybe in my generation. Hey, listen. Maybe in my generation, Brother Jackie, when I was raised and brought up seeing my mama and daddy, seeing my mama and grandma bring me to church, that was enough maybe to get me to follow in them steps. But I'm going to tell you, that is not enough in this day. When the spirit of Antichrist is working, hey, just watching mama and daddy go to church, they don't see nothing real at home. They never hear daddy pray. They never see a different walk, a different lifestyle. They never see nothing but just coming to church. That will not be enough.
Right.
And most people won't even be faithful to church, much less live it at home.
Right. Yes, sir.
When they see you at church and then a completely different human being at home, we're opening the door to the world and say, there you go. There's nothing real here to see. Lord, help us all, Jesus. We're losing our children. We're losing a generation that may be the last. I had no idea I'd be dealing with that this evening, but I'm telling you, God help us. If there's ever been a time we ought to be pleading with God. I mean, where has the tears gone? Oh, well, amen. But I remember, and it could be why I'm sure it's why I'm preaching today. Had it not been for somebody burdened enough to let tears stream down their face and to carry the load and have a burden over somebody, not just to be bothered by somebody. Oh, well, listen, God help us. What happened to the tears? Where did the burden go for others? Where would you be, Brother Ned, if somebody hadn't had a burden? God help us all. Our mentality these days is, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'll do as I please. Lord, help us. God, help us. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, that's an interesting verse. Do you know the spirit of truth? Can you detect the spirit of error? You need to. You need to. Because there's a lot of error. You don't have to go far. I mean, right here in Packlet, they are peddling and pushing error. Dangerous doctrine. Damnable doctrine. And the sad part about it is they're more steady about going to tell people about what they have that's not even real than we do about what we know is real and right. Well, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." That sounds like a great, that's a great verse. It sounds great, and it is great. But it's so much deeper than that. There's so much right there. Saying I love you is really meaningless. It's pointless. Love is not a word just to be used. You cannot measure love by language. You must measure love in its action form, in the verb tense. It's what you do. That's why Jesus said, I read this today, "Simon, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me?" Read that this evening. Jesus wanted to know, do you love me? If so, show me. Don't tell me. Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. Show me. If we never, if our love does not match our language in our action, we are lying, and it's meaningless. Love is a verb. It's an action verb. That's right. And here, what a verse. In this, verse 9, verse 8, "He that loveth God knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through Him." Boy, what a verse. My goodness, that's a power-packed verse. It's worth reading again. "In this was manifested the love of God." In what? What's he talking about? "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Amen. Yeah. Ain't the Bible good? Yes. Verse 9 was tremendous. Verse 10 gets a little bit better. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but," say we were singing about, "we love Him and Him loving us." Look, not that He loved us. He didn't just say it. Ain't you glad God didn't just holler down from the heavens and say, "Hey, I love y'all, love y'all, love y'all, love y'all, love y'all. I love y'all." No, He didn't do that. If all we got was an echoing voice from the heavens, I mean, I've met a lot of people said, "Well, I heard God speak to me." I said, "Okay, see ya." I don't talk to people who talk says God talks out loud to them, because God don't. Right. They're crazy. Or demon possessed, one of the two. No, God didn't just say it. He didn't just holler down from the heavens. What did the verse say? He said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." There's the proof. You'll know the proof. You'll know for a fact that God ain't just whispering hollow words of "I love you." No, my friend. He sent His only begotten Son, the perfect Lamb of God, for you and for me, as wicked and foul and wretched as I was. He came to me. And He bore my sin on the cross, and He became my sin. Oh, what love! What love. You cannot, hey, listen, you may die and go to hell, but you will not go to hell being unloved. People say all the time, people say this right before putting a bullet in their brain, "Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me." And the devil's got a lot of people convinced, "Nobody loves me." I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you. That's more than a children's song. That is an adult song. That is my theme. That is my anthem. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And He lives. He lives within my heart today. I know He lives. And I know He loves me. For him to put up with my mess, for Him to keep loving me despite... I mean, listen, just take a time out right here. Just after you got saved, Brother Jack, y'all know why I keep coming to you, but I feel like I need to preach to you this evening. Just after you got saved, I mean after God wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that He kept coming to you and picking you up time and time and time again and loving you. He did not have to, but He chose to on purpose. What a Savior. And if He did it for Jackie, He did it for you, Connor. He did it for you, Bobby. I mean, look how lousy you've been after you got saved. Nowhere near as lousy as I've been, but I'm telling you, what a Savior that deserves our loyalty and devotion. Amen.
What a Savior.
Amen, that's right. I mean, yes, Brother Bill, we were wicked before we got saved, but what about even after? Oh, my goodness. Well, beloved, if God so loved us, you're about to put it in shoe leather. Woo! We can praise the Lord that He loves us.
Yeah.
We can shout about that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! He loves us. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
And now He's about to stick it to you, Brother Ned. Put it in shoe leather. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You do not have an excuse not to love somebody. There is, you say, but you don't know what they did. Are you being honest? Please. Ain't nobody ever done you as wrong as you done God. Nobody. Nobody has took it on the chin. Nobody has taken the sin, the hurt, the shame. Read this today. Who for the joy that was set before Him. He endured. Are you listening? Oh, ought not we love one another? No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Did y'all get that? If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That statement is not without... He's saying something so dogmatically that you can contrast the opposite by if God is in and you love the brethren and you love the people, if we love one another, that word if changes the whole tenor and tone. Maybe it is and maybe it ain't. But if it is, if we love one another, if you do, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. Meaning, that word if started the whole verse out saying, either you are or you're not. If you love your brothers and sisters, God's in you. If you don't, He ain't. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
All these schisms and cliques and, hey, all that mess needs to get chunked out anyway. Ain't no big eyes and little U's. We all just sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. Amen. Lord, help us. Help us all. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I can testify to that tonight. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And I got in on that. I was in the world. Oh man, He saved me. Whosoever, I love that word. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Hey, listen. God dwelleth in him and he
in God. And we have known and believed the love of that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. I don't know about you, but when I read that verse, Brother Burrow, I don't know, I'm not too bold. Shamefully, I say that. What that verse is saying is, line me up beside Jesus, the way that Jesus loved the world. Now, if we love, if we have the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ and the compassion of Christ, and we love like Christ, we'll be able to be bold in the day of judgment. But I'm telling you, I have been a far cry from just let me take this one little pit, just slice. And I'm not going to preach on it, though it needs preaching. But my voice is almost gone. I'm going to give you this little bit. Just in marriage, you know what the Bible says? We husbands are to love the wife as Christ loved the church. It don't stop right there. There's not a period. And gave himself for it. Brother Eddie, I don't know how bold you're going to be at the day of judgment, but it ain't how we act around the brethren on our Sunday best. How is it down at the house? You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to hurry. We're almost done. What verse? 18. There is no fear in love. My goodness. That put a bunch of psychiatrists out of business. I say that in love. There's some good Christian psychiatrists out there. But there's a buku, a bunch of wacky nut jobs out there who will mess your mind up.
That's right.
And you don't need to be alone in your mind to nobody but God and his word and somebody who, and men and women of wisdom in the word.
Amen.
I never, ever, ever give counsel or instruction to go see a psychiatrist if they're not saved. And I don't know that they have a good biblical grounding of doctrine. But you better hear that.
Amen, preacher.
That is dangerous ground. Your mind is the battlefield, and if you lose here, you will lose.
Right.
Yes. Well, it says right here, there is no fear in love. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Amen. But that of a sound what?
Mind.
Huh?
Mind.
Yeah. So that mind's important. That mind's where the decisions get made. And God said, I ain't give you the spirit of fear, but that of a sound mind. Yeah. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If you are living in fear this evening, and I have many times, I have dipped into fear. And if you say you haven't, you a lie. We've all got into the lane of being fearful. But what this is clearly stating is when we get there, we're not walking in the love of Christ. We've got outside the boundaries, outside the line, and we need to get back in, because when you get inside the line and in the lane of the love of God, you will have no fear. Love casts out fear. You have nothing to fear. That's why these great missionaries and these pioneer missionaries and these who are they are becoming martyrs, because they have... Listen, they walk into places that there ain't no way me and you would want to walk into. You know why they do? Because they are functioning in the full love of God. And it gives them power to walk into the enemy's camp for the sake of Christ. And we find it hard to give somebody a track at Walmart. Come on, man, please. We better think about that. God might just put you standing beside a Josh McBriar, somebody who walks into North Korea. God may just put you beside a David Brainerd or a host of other men or women that have gave their life, been tortured. You think that, he may put me, you think our measly, puny, wimpy excuses are going to stand up when God just had a martyr What about that woman who said, God saved me? And she was a mother. Brother Steve is in a country where they didn't allow Christianity. They'd kill you. They'd persecute you. And that mama, they took her out about knee deep in the waters, the tide coming in. And they said, deny Christ or you'll drown. And she stood and sang to Jesus and said, I will not recant. I will not deny my Lord. And the water beat higher. And then they surprisingly took her daughter, her little daughter, and took her deeper into the water and weighted her down as the waves beat into the mama. And she sang with tears coming down her face, I will not recant. And watched her daughter and then herself be consumed and drowned in the waters because she wasn't willing to deny Christ. Now, in that context, that ain't made up, that's history. In that context, do we really have a place to complain? Do we really have an excuse to murmur? It was too hard. I just didn't feel right. God help us. God help us. I didn't say God help you. I said God help us. Lord help us. Every Christian in here ought to leave out tonight with a pack full of tracts ready to tell somebody about Jesus. That shames me. That brings me to shame. I'm being dead serious. I was telling Miss Emily, she's not here tonight, I was telling her at the kitchen table the other night about these missionaries, and I just saw her eyes lit up, and she was intrigued. She said, why would they do that? Why? She could not wrap around her head, just why would they, for loving, why would they kill somebody for loving Jesus? I explained that part to her, and then she said, why would they go and risk, and why would they, if they knew, why would, and it hit her. I didn't have to tell her. It hit her. She ain't been saved long. It's blessed my heart. She said, I've been reading in my Bible. I can tell this because she ain't here tonight. I wouldn't embarrass her. But she's growing in the Lord. She said, I said something about, one of the girls asked something about, ain't your brother, said, ain't your brother's keeper? I don't know what, they ain't got no brothers. I don't know where that come from. You better not have no brothers. Ain't got no brothers. But as being smart mouth, they had teenage years, just mouthy. Mouthy, mouthiness. Ain't your brother's keeper? Ain't that in the Bible, Daddy? Only time my children want a Bible verse from me is so they can use it against their sibling. Ain't that in the Bible, Daddy? Where's that in the Bible, Daddy? I said, that's when Cain killed. You talking about Cain and Abel? Yeah, yeah. Emily said, oh, what? Is that one of them was good with the vegetation and working the fields, and nothing was, he took care of the sheep? I said, yeah. I said, how'd you know that? She said, I've been reading my Bible. I said, well, you didn't get to the, I blew the punchline. I said, Cain killed Abel. I said, if you're that close, you're about there. You're about to find that out. That's right. I know that was a rabbit trail. I'm rejoicing in that. I love to see people get down on this altar and get saved, baptized, and then be faithful and coming to church and growing in the Lord, reading their Bible. I ain't asked her one time, have you been reading your Bible? I ain't God, but I'm glad God's faithful to go down to her house and put it in her heart. I need to read my Bible. That's fruit. That's good. That's real good. Well, what verse? 19. We finally got to the verse for the message. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen. We are done with the reading and done with the preaching, except I'm just going to list. I'm not going to say a word other than what I got right here. I'm not even going to give you the verses. But I had, I think, about seven thoughts. I was going to deal with the Lord loving us. I love the Lord because, number one, he loved me. I love the Lord, number two, because he loosed me. I love the Lord, number three, because He lifted me. I love the Lord, number four, because He leads me. I love the Lord, number five, because He listens to me. I love the Lord, number six, because He looks after me. I love the Lord, number seven, because He longs for me. I was eight. I love the Lord, number eight, because He lives in me. I love the Lord because He's coming for me. All right, let's stand together. Our Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the sharp, two-edged sword. Lord, it cuts to the bone and marrow. Lord, to the dividing asunder. Lord, You know just where and when, how to cut on us, Lord. Lord, You take the scalpel of the Word of God, and Lord, with the same sword, You cut us, Lord, but then You stitch us back together and heal us. Lord, thank You for the love of God. Lord, thank You for loving us. When we were unlovable, Lord, You loved us. When nobody would love us, You loved us. God, I pray in Jesus' name, we wouldn't be hypocrites and heretics, God, but we would love You enough to live for You. God, that we'd be dedicated, love You enough to tell others about the love of Christ. God, may we leave here having seen the love of Christ. God, help us to love our brothers and our sisters, understanding and knowing, Lord, none of us are perfect. We all have failed. We all have faults. But oh God, when I'm down, then more than ever, I need someone to love me. And I thank You, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ that have restored me and helped me, loved me. God, I thank You most of all that You love me. Have Your way, Lord. And I want to publicly say, I do love You because You first loved me.